Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2015, and I'm feeling really bad because yesterday I totally missed out on Kiss a Ginger Day. I did not get kissed once.
Oh, no.
I know. And salt in the wound, Bob Levitis and I had lunch together. He did not kiss me.
What?
Oh, Bob.
Dr. Mac is holding back the smooches?
Yep.
Oh,
man, Dr. Mac shakes fist.
Much fist shaking.
I know. That's such a disappointing day. Anyhow, how do I turn that into a good segue? Oh, anyhow, not disappointing. I have.
Speaking of genders, how about the emoji and lesbians?
I haven't even introduced you guys yet.
Well, let's make today a better day than yesterday. It's not like we can smooch you from here, but that may be good or bad depending on how you look at it. This is Kelly Gamont, by the way. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Kelly. How are you? And guy that's talking, why don't you just say your name?
Brian Chaffin.
Oh, I love you guys.
If there's a way for that to sound like a mugshot, it did.
that was absolutely awesome. Anyhow, Kelly, Brian, thank you for joining me today.
Good to be here, man.
Yeah. It's great to have you guys back again. Brian, since you hopped into the whole lesbian emoji thing,
Let's go.
Why don't we just start there?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Okay, so the deal is I came across an app on the App Store that's called Lesbian Emojis. And it's exactly what you think it is. It's a collection of emoji that's catering to the lesbian community. And emoji, if you're not familiar, those are those little graphic smiley faces and pile of poo and dancing people and weather icons and stuff that you can drop into your text messages.
Okay, let's give an actual definition. These are the little pictures that you get in texts from the young people that you can't quite see.
I like that that's your actual definition.
Because a lot of them are very intricate and they're also very small. And yeah. I had laser eyeball surgery. I had them laser upgraded. I am 20/15 in both eyes. And if I'm looking at it and going, what in the actual crap is that thing? Then I know that regular people are having a hard time.
It might be the pile of poo, though.
Okay, then in that case, yes. Only in that instance is it actual crap. But the rest of the time, it's really hard to tell what they are for the most part.
But nonetheless, people have been increasingly using emoji to express themselves.
This is true.
I mean, there was what was the name of the app?
Emoji. Oh.
The emoji only social networking.
Yeah, Emoji Lee.
Emoji Lee, right. I mean, that is, you know.
Taken to the hilarious extreme. It's a Portlandia sketch of the internet.
Right. It is. But people do increasingly use emoji to express themselves in text messages in particular.
Yes.
That's true. So it stands to reason that the collection of emoji icons should represent all these different lifestyles, because we're using these to express who we are.
Yes.
And it's not as if anyone who finds a particular lifestyle offensive at all is must use those emojis.
True. And so I think we need more emoji. What we don't have in the emoji set right now on our iPhones is anything that really embraces diversity. I actually went through and looked at the emoji that's on the iPhone because I knew that we only had two what I'll call LGBT icons. There's one emoji of two guys holding hands and one emoji of two girls holding hands.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I went looking for racial diversity. And what I found is that all the faces are white, so Caucasian looking.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that I found that looked kind of Chinese, like like almost like a stereotype soldier worker, factory worker kind of face, you know, with a little hat on. And then another one that was kind of a brownish skin sort of thing with the turban. And that's it. Everything else is just white people.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now,
and of course, we have three Caucasian Americans discussing this issue on this very show.
That's true. But to be fair, none of the emoji look like me.
That is, well, there's not enough curl.
Exactly.
They can't put that much curl in.
Even in Retina. It's just not possible.
It's not possible, right?
That's true. So, Brian,
are there any gingers?
Yes. There.
Oh.
Yeah, for the human faces, there are male and female faces. There were no gingers.
So, what's your proposal here? I know that you were suggesting that Apple has an opportunity for more diversity. So, lay it on us.
Okay. So, we know that we're getting more racial diversity at some point in Emoji because Unicode 7.0 includes a lot of different skin tones for those faces.
Okay.
So, that's a good start. But it's up to the people that are writing the operating systems to incorporate that in. It's not like simply because the new Unicode additions have been announced that they're magically included in operating systems.
Well, what does the emoji governing board say?
Well, there really isn't an emoji.
There isn't one. That was my point.
Governing board.
Like no one's actually. I mean, there's no rules for this. As you said, this is what the companies are. It's up to the companies to implement this stuff.
Right. So mm-hmm. Apple's in a position where they have control over the operating system. So they can push out an OS update to the iPhone and iPad. Well, and to the Mac now too, because we have emoji support on the Mac that adds in the new emoji icon. So we'll increase our racial diversity that way. But then we have the problem of what do you do about sexual diversity? Because mm-hmm. that's not in Unicode. And right now all we have are a couple apps that I found on the App Store. So Apple's in a position where if they embrace the new emoji set right away, so earlier than anyone else, they can start setting an example for diversity acceptance. And Apple's also in a position because they have they've been very outspoken on a lot of equality and rights issues lately, where they could start putting some pressure to say, look, we need to increase this diversity even more, and we need to embrace more lifestyles, and then maybe Apple can help get more. I don't know if equality is the right word to use for that, but to get a more representative emoji set implemented.
Slightly more accurate.
There you go, slightly more accurate. Yeah, and I think that would be a good idea because we get all kinds of subtle cues from our society and from our culture as to what's right and what's wrong, and that translates to, am I right or am I wrong? Am I good or am I bad? And if you're going through the emoji to send messages to your friends and you want to include little icons and you find that there's no one that has skin tones that match yours, well, does that tell you that there's something wrong with you? Or if you happen to be in love with a woman and you are a woman or a man in love with a man and you're not finding emoji that represent your lifestyle, is that telling you that you are bad or you are wrong?
It disappoints me that Tim Cook is limited to that one emoji.
Well, I guess you could kind of push it.
Well, he's limited that one emoji to express his sexual identity, possibly.
Right.
But he's not limited to that one emoji.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, if you're looking for something that represents you, you know, you and your sweetheart, whoever that may be, he's kind of stuck with the one, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't look like him.
Probably
that's
not
what it comes down to.
Well, there is a rainbow.
Yeah.
So I guess you could stretch it and say there's that too. So anyhow, my point is that my point is now changing on the show because I just realized that I had not really been aware of how limited the emoji set was as a representation of our culture until I really started looking after finding this lesbian emojis app.
Well, I mean, you know, really, this is how it's a limited set of icons. It's a limited set of pictographs.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is in fact very limited. It does not cover everything and all things. Certainly not yet. It could someday, but you know, and just become this big massive library.
That's where the apps come in.
Trying to read a newspaper in Chinese or something. But you know, it certainly will grow, and you would think that companies like Google and Apple alike, Facebook would be keen on pushing these boundaries.
Facebook already has. Because Facebook has their own, they call them stickers.
Right.
Oh, the stickers, yes.
And they have, from what I understand, I haven't gone through the entire set, but they have a set of stickers that focus on the LGBT community.
Mm.
And awesome. They've had that for several months. So yay Facebook, which I know that's weird to hear me say yay Facebook, but yay Facebook
for
embracing
kids.
Diversity.
Indeed.
Yeah. So anyhow, the lesbian emojis app, it's free, which I think is great. And and it works pretty well. I tried it out, and you can you select an emoji, and it automatically drops it into the messages app. So it's nice. Just there ready for you to use. It's not quite as convenient as being able to bring up the emoji keyboard, but it's a pretty slick way of getting these extra graphics, pictographs, into your messages. So that's cool. And we have a sponsor today.
Yay!
Woo! I know. I'm pretty excited. Our sponsor today is Lynda.com. And if you're not familiar with Lynda.com, they are the people that do a lot of really great online video training. And they have a pretty diverse library of training that you can check out. So you can learn all kinds of tech stuff. You can learn business stuff. They have some art-related things. They have personal life things. So there's a lot that you can learn from Lynda.com. I went scanning through their database recently and found that they already have Swift training available. So if you want to learn how to use the Swift programming language that Apple announced earlier this year, you can do that.
Well, last summer.
Oh, right. It's a new year. So last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found some classes about Mac maintenance, which is great. If you want to learn how to take care of your Mac yourself, then you can just learn this online. And the instructors that they have, they're all like top people in whatever their field is.
Which people?
Top people. And I actually know many of these people myself. So I can attest to their ability to teach you exactly what you need to know. And because it's so important that we all learn and expand our horizons, Lynda is offering a 10-day free trial to all of our listeners.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah. So if you go to lynda.com, that's lynda.com/TDO, you can sign up for a 10-day free trial. And if you're an insomniac and you're not going to sleep for 10 days, you can quite literally sit at your computer for 10 days and just watch as much training as you can possibly suck in.
You can learn all of the things.
You can learn all of the things.
You certainly could.
Yeah. So during that 10 days, you are not limited in how much content you watch, which I think is great.
That's pretty outstanding. That's outstanding. That's outstanding.
Yeah. And the stuff they do really is fantastic. So go check them out. lynda.com/TDO. Get your 10-day free trial. And, mm-hmm. And if you like what you see, then sign up for one of their subscription packages so that you can watch over a few weeks or a few months, whatever it is that you need. And thank you, Lynda, for sponsoring our show.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right. So the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today goes a little bit into the political realm. And this is from a piece that you wrote, Brian, yesterday.
Yep.
That that Cameron, the Prime Minister of the UK.
David Cameron.
Thinks that it should be against the law for people to have encrypted messages.
Well, as soon as he figures out what that is.
What he's specifically saying is that that the government should have backdoor access into encrypted messaging services, and that he has promised to outlaw them if the government can't have that backdoor access. And of course, the backdrop to this is the horrific attacks against Charlie Hebdo in Paris this last week. And quite frankly, government has always or has often used terror attacks to make land grabs on privacies and civil rights. And so, you know, to that extent, this and you know, most of our audience is in the States. We're in the States.
Yes, but there's a pretty compelling case to be made that if we were to call Cameron out for this, he would go, "I learned it by watching you."
It's true, and Europe and the United States, and as a longtime TMO reader, listener, member, Lori Fleming mentioned, New Zealand and Australia tend to where one goes, the others tend to follow, especially when it comes to civil rights, and usually when it goes to taking and limiting civil rights. And when it comes to things that the EFF, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, tends to get involved in. And so, but my original point was that the Paris attacks obviously hit a lot, literally a lot closer to home in England. And they certainly mean a lot more to the folks who were actually in France. Mm-hmm. But I hate seeing this sort of calculated, we're going to capitalize on this tragedy to take away privacy and freedom.
Well, and we don't, to my knowledge, there hasn't been anything said about, oh, they were using this particular encrypted messaging mechanism in order to plan this. Like, we haven't seen anything like that. It's just, we should do this because terrorism.
Yeah, in general. And what's happened here in the States, because, you know, Mr. Cameron is sort of taking what has been said here in the States by the DOJ and by James Comey, the FBI director, where they were saying that, you know, I think the DOJ, the number two person in the DOJ said that, children would die.
And as soon as they bring the children into the argument, that just really bothers me. Now, which is not to say that I don't think we should protect children, but I don't like when children are used as a manipulative tool to promote someone's political agenda.
Right. And what's at stake here is the fact that companies like Apple, iMessages in particular, and iPhones as a whole now, and Android devices, starting I think with Lollipop as a whole, are encrypted in such a way that the companies who provide the service and make the hardware and make the software can't break that encryption, even if they're given a warrant to do so.
Yeah, there's no mechanism for Apple to get into your phone if you have set up the passcode and things like that. Like, yeah, there's nothing Apple can do to get into your phone.
Right. Now, the three of us here are not raging, rabid, anti-government, you know, people.
No.
we're not interested so much in the government not being able to serve a warrant on our devices. What we're interested in is having devices that are so secure that the bad guys can't get to them. The bad guys can't get our messages. The bad guys can't get our accounts. The bad guys can't get the data on our phones. And in fact, the government can't because the bad guys can't, and the bad guys can't because the government, because no one can. You cannot have backdoor access without that access being available to anyone and everyone.
That's right.
Exactly.
You can't do it. You can't. If the government has a backdoor, if a company has a backdoor into its own systems, that mm-hmm. backdoor will be available to anyone and everyone. And that's what Apple was trying to do with iMessages. Mm-hmm.
Because it's everyone or no one, essentially.
Yes, exactly. And this nonsense coming from politicians, it just drives me nuts. And I know that a lot of it comes from people who serve in the government, people who serve in law enforcement, their desire to protect people and stop bad things from happening.
You know, I can understand and appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But these law enforcement officials are also sworn to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States and to defend the citizens of the country. Therefore, they are bound by their own oath to do everything they can to work within the guidelines, the restrictions that are placed upon them by the Constitution and by federal and state laws. So I just find it very odd that so many law enforcement officials are looking to sidestep our constitutional rights.
Yeah, and most of the time it's a zeal to stop bad things from happening. But here's the reality. Here's the thing that I think some folks lose sight of, and some folks actually just disagree. A reasonable person can be willing to hand over all their freedoms, all their civil liberties, in exchange for absolute security, right? A reasonable person could do that. I personally disagree with that. I understand that living in a free society brings with it risks and danger to myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the only way to make the world perfectly safe is for a government to control everything. And I don't want that.
It's not perfectly safe.
Right.
That's true. You're correct. There's a perfect state that some people might want, but is not even achievable. And heading further down that path just drives me nuts. There is risk. I mean, there's risk in freedom. Freedom comes with risk.
I'm willing to accept those risks.
I am too.
As am I.
All right, so now we just have to get David Cameron to get on board with this too.
Yeah.
No, I understand, like, a lot of times I know there are people who are going to have other intentions, and a lot of people are coming at this from a place of wanting to make the world better, wanting to make the world safer for people, and I get that. I really, really do. I just think there's a way better method in which you could achieve something much closer to what you actually want than what this is going to do. Because right now my phone has a lock, which is the encryption. And if a key exists, then a PIC exists. It doesn't get any plainer than that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go.
It really only matters who's got what. And, you know, you never know who's going to have which one.
Yeah, and you know what? It sometimes law enforcement is hard.
It is.
Of course, absolutely.
And that's the flip side of the fact that freedom comes with risk.
Right. And
just because law enforcement is hard, that does not create an excuse or justification for eroding our personal rights and liberties and privacy. Mm-hmm. It just means that as law enforcement, you need to work harder. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. And this is not, my point here is I'm not trying to come down. I'm not an anti-law enforcement person. by any, I don't think any of the three of us are anti-law enforcement people.
Nope.
This isn't about, you know, the government. You know, this isn't about like this is just about the reality that privacy means privacy, and you can't have privacy but the government gets to sneak in the back door. It just doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It's not possible. It's not physically possible. And when politicians like David Cameron lie about it, he's either lying or he's ignorant. One of the two.
Right.
What he's saying won't accomplish what he says he wants to accomplish. What James Comey was asking for will not accomplish what James Comey wanted. What the DOJ fella said was just a bucket of FUD.
That was a really nice way of putting that.
Yes.
Hey, indeed. We're out of time.
Oh.
I know. And I'm really enjoying this conversation. I wish we could go on longer, but we're like out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. But how about if I wrap up with saying, Brian, you ended your editorial, I think, in the most brilliant and important way. The most important line of your editorial was the last, which was a reminder that people need to vote.
Yes.
So keep that in
mind. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Pay attention and vote. Yes. And on that happy note, we'll have to wrap up now. And I want to thank lynda.com again for being our sponsor this week. Go check them out at lynda.com/TDO. Get your free 10-day trial. And it'll be great because you will be learning. And we all need to learn. Please, go learn more. And Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for joining me as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
It's always my pleasure. And we'll see everyone else tomorrow.